So I want to speak about another quality of the beautiful mind. And this morning I want to speak about the ability to let go, the ability to live simply, the ability to know what is enough. And it is the practice of renunciation that allows us to live in this way. Renunciation is not a word that we hear often, and nobody's selling anything to support your renunciation. That's not what it's about. And so, actually, in our culture, we don't get much exposure to, and we don't have really popular role models or cultural icons of renunciation that are easy to identify. That doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of us who live quite simply, who get by with just enough. And not because we're forced to, but because we choose to. And it really is a way of life or a practice of the heart to be looked at, because actually each one of us has enjoyed the benefit of renunciation a lot. And so to identify it and to see what role it plays in our life and what it offers us is important, so that we can capitalize on our understanding and use renunciation actively in our life. Renunciation is about choosing behavior or an activity or a belief or thought that offers a greater happiness, a greater sense of ease than what you're currently engaged in. It's letting go of something in order to realize, in order to taste, to experience something that's more beneficial. And we recognize that. It's not that the first thing or that we let go of is bad. It's just that it's not the end-all, be-all. There's a famous experiment with kids that Dan Coleman reported in his book Emotional Intelligence, where young children were in a room with a psychologist, the tormentor, and they were given, you know, a candy bar, and they were told that there was a candy bar, they could have it, they could eat it, but the tester, the psychologist, was going to leave the room. And when they came back, if the child still had the candy bar, then the psychologist would give them another one. But if they'd eaten the first one, well, that's all they would get. Whereupon the tester would leave the room, watch through the one-way mirror to see what the kids did. And, you know, predictably, some of them would just open the candy bar and eat it, quite enjoy it. Others would just put it aside and just wait, knowing that they wanted two instead of one. But a lot of them were tormented with, I want this one, but I really want two. And all of the machinations of the mind were on display in their behavior, you know, looking at it, picking it up, smelling it, you know, maybe opening it up but not tasting it, licking it but not really eating it, whatever, as a way of getting as close to indulging but holding out for more. practice of renunciation is not easy sometimes, if we see it as in that way. But actually, we're faced with this kind of decision all the time. We have many opportunities daily, really, to see, can I let go of this in order to enjoy that? And sometimes it feels like a great imposition of stress, or somehow we imagine that, you know, if we renounce anything, we're going to be deprived, or we're going to live a kind of an impoverished life if we renounce something. But actually, renunciation is pointing to, you know, living with a sense of abundance, but simply. And I think all of us have had a taste of that. You know, if you can remember a time when, you know, you're on vacation or you're out in nature and all of your stuff of your life and all of your roles and all of your relationships are not there. They're not present. And you can be quite at ease and open and quite content, satisfied, fulfilled with just being present. So we know what renunciation can reveal. We know what it can offer. And yet, we often do not choose it. But instead, we follow the habitual conditioning of the mind that just wants more. Wants more stimulation, wants more contact, wants more stuff, wants more contact, you know, just Twitter, email, phones, cell phones is not enough. We need more. More stimulation, more contact. Or habitually, we gravitate that way. Renunciation is only possible with awareness, to really understand the benefit of letting go. To give you an example, remember when you were growing up? Well, we're all still growing, but remember when you were younger and you had your favorite toy? It was a bike, a doll, a ball, a sport, a musical instrument, a friend, whatever it was that was, for a period of time, it was the vehicle of happiness in your life. And you get up every day and you just want to play in that way and you just enjoy. And you got derived a lot of happiness from your relationship and indulgence in this activity. Where is that thing or that person or that activity now? It's gone. It's not in your life. It's in the attic. It's in the cellar. It's, you know, far away from your heart. It no longer offers that happiness. And somewhere in the intervening years, you let go of it. Was that painful? Did you live a deprived life because of it? No. It was just a natural seeing that this no longer served its purpose, its former purpose of making us happy. And active practice of renunciation is looking to see what in your life no longer serves your aspiration. It's that simple. But it's not that easy. Because over the years of our life, we have acquired friends and behaviors and beliefs and stuff that we still carry around with us. And we often hang on to these things long after they are important to us, valuable to us, a source of happiness or ease or contentment to us. And yet, we still find it difficult to let go. Sometimes we don't know that we're hanging on. Sometimes we don't know that we're still carrying them around. And so it takes a very honest awareness to take an inventory of your mind, your heart, and see what's there. And this practice of awareness is a lot of that. As you know, there's a personal, there's an extensive personal history review that we all go through. When you start just paying attention to the way things are, we see our past. It just rolls into view in all of its dramas and traumas and color and otherwise. And so we get to review and to see once again and to decide, really, is this of value? Is this necessary? Is this contributing to my life? Is this important? Is this something to bring out of the closet, up from the cellar, down from the attic, and actively engage with on a daily or frequent basis? And if we could really do that with awareness, we'd see we carry a lot of baggage. Stuff, physical stuff, but emotional stuff and beliefs and opinions and fantasy futures that are, well, just baggage. Renunciation is really recognizing this shift in relationship, this changed relationship with all of these things, and actively, consciously, and with some decisiveness, letting go. Because they no longer serve. They no longer are necessary. They no longer support. And yet, if we don't undertake the inventory and come to this understanding, conclusion, decision, they niggle. They siphon away energy. They siphon away our vitality in just carrying them around. I was speaking with a friend, and he was talking about having renounced something in his life, and he said that the fear was that his life would be worse off. The fear is that, oh, I don't know if I can live without it. It's just such a part of my life that I want it. But he could see that it really wasn't necessary and really wasn't healthy. And in letting it go, he saw that his life was actually more enriched by the clarity, by the releasing of the energy of that holding. So growing up is one way that we quite naturally experience renunciation without it being this severe imposition of deprivation and struggle. Unfortunately, when we let go of the doll or the bike, we picked up something else in its place. And so the energy of attachment and identification is still there and has been for as long as we've lived. But with knowledge about the possibility or the dangers even of some of what we've identified with or attached to, we can make some adjustments. I'm thinking particularly of when I was younger. I guess I've always been younger than I am now. But at one point in my younger years, I used to smoke tobacco and other things, but tobacco. And I used to smoke a lot for a number of years. And I enjoyed it. I mean, I thought I did. You know, and then the Surgeon General came out with a report back in the early 70s or whatever and said, you know, smoking's bad for you. It's going to kill you. There's a lot of physical harm that comes from smoking. And I tried to ignore it, but the information was in there. It was in here, And it just kept coming up for review. And I was not happy. I was not comfortable with smoking while knowing, you know, the possible consequences. And so at one point, I was able to just marshal my resoluteness, decisiveness, and just say, okay, well, enough is enough. I'm done. And after a few of those attempts, was able to actually be done. And it's because of the possible consequences. You know, not that it was happening now. It wasn't that smoking was suddenly unpleasant. It was pleasurable. But in anticipation of the consequences and the unpleasant consequences, that I was able to say, okay, let this one go. It's for the better. Let go of this little happiness of smoking now for good health later. And so we trade in this way. We trade a minor happiness for a greater happiness, even though it does involve letting go. And some, you know, sometimes it's a challenge to let go. And probably all of you have had habits or behaviors that you've worked with or struggled with or have successfully, you know, abandoned, jettisoned, let go, just not useful. Well, we haven't stopped growing. You know, we didn't suddenly just grow up when we turned 20 or 25 or 30. You know, we still are growing, and our future, our aspirations, our choices in life are still available. They're still, you know, it's still ahead of us. And so often we carry behaviors and whatnot from early adult years into midlife. And for those of us who are approaching midlife, you never know how long you're going to live, you know, carrying them into elder years. After I gave up smoking, then I took up other things and got into the Grateful Dead, and they became a habit, and they were a really pleasant habit to carry around for a number of years. And I just, you know, they were just a big part of my life for a long time. And then I got into the Dharma, and the Dharma became a pretty ever-present part of my life for a period of time. And then I had the most fortunate situation I could have imagined at the time. I was going on a 2-week retreat, a nice silent retreat to kind of clean out, calm down, open up, take a look, let go, on the last day of which was going to be a Grateful Dead concert in the town nearby. Hey, what could be better? Calm down, clear out, quiet, let go, go to a show. It was unbearable. It was so unpleasant. It was so loud and so noisy and so much activity and so much contact. It was just really painful to go to the show. What I had not realized was that my attachment to, identification, enjoyment of something that I really loved had waned, had just kind of dissipated in my mind. And something that I appreciated more, something that was more valuable, the understanding and the calming of the mind and the understanding of the mind was just more valuable, more important, more, it just had a higher priority in my life. But I didn't know that until I saw it so clearly, so dramatically, in going to the show. And so I think that each one of us, and I see for myself, that I still carry around stuff from the past without knowing that I have outgrown it, that it no longer serves serves me. And so I invite each one of you to consider really articulating to yourself what your highest aspiration is. What are you doing with your life? Where are you going? Do you have any direction? And then to review, take an inventory. What baggage, stuff, people, beliefs, opinions, identifications support that aspiration, and which don't? And then have the courage to begin to disentangle from those things that no longer serve your highest aspiration. This is the practice of letting go. This is the practice of renunciation. And it's not because you hate or you dislike or anything. It's just that you've really outgrown so much of what, well, siphons off your time and energy and interest and just doesn't allow you the time or the energy to do or to fulfill your aspiration. Now, it's sometimes scary to even contemplate doing that, because if we really acknowledge what our aspiration is and what supports it and what hinders it or what's an obstacle to it, we might have to change our life and lifestyle. It's your life. It's nobody else's life. You don't know that you're going to get another one that's going to be any better than this. When are you going to do it? You know, as one of our teachers says, you can't just put it off until you get older, retire, and finish your worldly work to then practice. Do any of us know that we're ever going to retire? That we're ever going to have more time than now? Does anyone know we're going to be alive tomorrow? We don't. We don't have to get anxious and fearful and, you know, hurry. We just have to kind of cop to the truth, cop to the way it is for us. This is what our aspiration is. This is what supports it and this is what doesn't. And then take immediate but maybe baby-sized steps in that direction. Because if we do not make the effort to fulfill our aspiration, we will have a lot of regret. There's no doubt about it. And we can look in the past and see things that we've done that have probably caused a lot of regret and know that regret is painful. Lost time is time lost. It really, you don't get it back. We grow up, we give up, let go. Is there any place that we need to hold on? Is there anything that cannot be renounced? Is there anything that is so important and so significant that you have to hold on? It's an important question to just ask yourself, what of all you're hanging on to, do you actually need? You know, I think it was Henry David Thoreau that said, he went to the forest, he went to that little cottage out on Walden Pond to live simply, to just see what the basic minimum was to live as a human being. Of course, he had a patron in the writer that lived nearby, and his relatives kind of kept him safe and fed, but I think it's an important question. What do we actually need to get by? How much do we need? What is enough? One of our students in the Bay Area, started a nonprofit to bring the question, what is enough, to corporations. Okay, each one of us is a little corporation, you know, the Steve Inc. You know, we have our activities and inflows and outflows and trying to maximize and just to ask ourselves, well, what is enough, really? Is it, have you ever had enough? Is it possible? When will we quit? When will we know that we've got enough? How will we know? You know, the Buddha said you should stop eating, you know, 5 mouthfuls before full. Who's going to tell you that? Only we ourselves, from paying very careful and close attention, will know that. And only you yourself can answer the question, what is enough? Renunciation is not only about letting go of stuff, letting go of behaviors. It's also letting go of unskillful habits. And when we pay attention to our life, to our mind, to our heart, we see a lot of unskillful reactivity in the mind. You know, peevishness and anger and irritation and fear, jealousy and resentment and retaliatory, you know, impulses. And we see them, and we often feel fed by them, actually. It establishes us in our relationship to others. We have to look at that. We have to look at the emotional dramas that keep us attached to, identified with, entangled in others' lives. It's not that we can't have relationships. It's not that we don't have intimate and supportive relationships, but that we have a lot of relationships that are not intimate and not supportive. And why? Why do we choose to remain entangled in them? Well, when we develop, as we develop awareness and the momentum of awareness, we see how we hang on to ideas about ourselves, stories about ourselves that were important at one time in our life, or maybe are insisted on by someone else in our life, but are not our story. It's not current. And yet we haven't let it go. We haven't really seen, this story is no longer about me. Or it's no longer about the me that is here now. And to let it go. And to really see through the entangling threads and to make that choice. And often it is just exposing it and asking yourself, do I need this? Do I need this? Do I need this reaction? Do I need this thing? Do I need this belief? Do I need this person? And if we don't, and if we really see that, then how to let it go? This is the practice of renunciation. As I've seen over the past few years, one of the hardest things to let go of is naivete. We are not as naive as we would like to believe. That allows us to kind of smush through. We know more than we're often willing to acknowledge. That is not going to be good enough to free your heart. We really have to acknowledge what we know. Both about ourselves, about others, about the way things are, and then act on that. And to come to accept that, you know, a lot of those futures that we imagine for ourselves, they're not going to happen. Give it up. And while it's scary to imagine it's not going to happen, the energy of holding that fantasy when you give it up is now available to you in the present moment. And that energy is all you've got, really, moment by moment. And if it's tied up in the past, holding on to the past, holding on to some fantasy future, you don't have much energy to live in the present moment. And this is the benefit of letting go. Letting go of the past, letting go of the future, and seeing things as they really are. Again, it's a choice. If we practice, we'll see that we have a choice. If we practice awareness. If you don't practice awareness, well, habit will make the choice. So I encourage you to continue with your awareness practice and really see for yourself and articulate to yourself, what is it? When you come upon these thoughts, beliefs, memories, plans, fantasies, fears, is this necessary? Is this supportive? Is this nurturing your aspiration? And if it isn't, then have the courage to at least acknowledge that and then find a way to let it go. It doesn't happen in one big step. It happens in, you know, hundreds and thousands of little steps where we just make incremental adjustments in our life to head more accurately in the direction of our aspiration.